The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Takes the snap. He's back to pass. Steps up. Oh, it's a strip sack and Arizona recovered it. The Cardinals win.
Are you kidding me?
That's just like the Denver game. Are you kidding me? A strip sack. Teddy dropped it. Arizona wins 23-20.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
What's going on here in this baseball game? I just turned it on, Houston and Boston.
Oh, baseball games?
Ugh. Okay.
Those are going on?
But
you're gonna be like that with me after what happened to me? You're going to do me like that? Okay, fine.
I watched two innings of Diamondbacks Dodgers the other day.
Well, that hasn't been a good series.
What happened to this? If Arizona gets through, it's lights out for the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's sports, man. That's just the way it goes. I really thought they would have trouble with the Diamondbacks, honestly.
Yeah. The D-backs hit six home runs in the first two games. And they're down to nothing.
I mean, it is entirely possible that L.A. just got all the funk out of their system, and now they're good to go again.
You get in the playoffs, and you ratchet it up a level. And if you look at it talent for talent, the Dodgers are way better than the Diamondbacks. Baseball's probably the sport where this is the least true, but usually talent wins out, especially over a series.
Clayton Kershaw got his first ever home playoff win in that series, which is amazing to think about.
Yeah, and that was big, too, because if he showed up and pitched like he was capable of in the playoffs, that changes the whole dynamic of the series, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I got to watch the Indians game against the Yankees. Game two was pretty good.
Was that the one where Girardi didn't challenge something? And
right, yeah.
People were all up in arms about it.
The Indians were down 8-3 and came back and won. But I was a little preoccupied at the time.
probably just a little bit.
I would like to tell the story a little bit just in case anybody listening might benefit from my experience. I think you guys are all up to speed on what happened, so I'll go through it quickly. On Wednesday, I had what I thought was a really bad case of heartburn. Took some Zantac, it went away, and I thought, okay, no big deal. And then the next morning, I woke up on Thursday, and it was back, but it was different. Long story short, I went to tried to get in to see my regular family doctor, couldn't get an appointment, so I went over to what they call the convenient care center. And the nurse practitioner there told me, okay, it could be your stomach and heartburn, but it might also be your heart. I said, okay, I don't think it's my heart, but okay, whatever. And she said, but I would like you to go to the ER. Get in the car with my girlfriend. I'm like, I don't think it's my heart. And she goes, neither do I. I said, okay, you don't forget it. Then about 5 seconds later, I went, but it'd be a hell of a thing to be wrong about, wouldn't it? Well, I was wrong. Long story short, I was in the Cleveland Clinic I got out Saturday. So I was in the Cleveland Clinic from Thursday night until Saturday afternoon. I had a heart attack, and that's that. They did what they call a catheterization on my heart, and here I am doing the show on Monday. So that's how fucking good the Cleveland Clinic is at what they do.
And what a trooper you are.
Honest to God, guys. I mean, and I'm not exaggerating this. I haven't felt this good in a very, very long time, first off. Secondly, it feels like nothing really ever happened. And but I just want to tell, and I know you guys are probably too young to worry about this. You don't have to start thinking about the shit till you're about 40. But you can't ignore the warning signs, and that's why I want to talk about this on the show. I had what were like just minor passing chest pains that would last maybe 3 to 4 seconds, and just like a blink of an eye, and they were gone. And I thought, that's nothing, you know, no big deal. Until they came back and stayed, and I went, all right, now I know what those were. As my girlfriend put it, she's a registered nurse, and she said that your heart will try to get your attention. And the longer you ignore it, the harder it will try. And so finally your heart will say, you know what, fuck this, I'm getting your attention, and this is what happens, and that's what happened to me. So guys, it's real simple, get your cholesterol checked, you know, just do the proper checkups and the maintenance and all that, and trust me when I tell you, you do not want to go through this. I got really, really, really lucky. I also had the benefit of being treated by the best cardiac hospital in the world. Not everybody's so lucky, so do your due diligence and do not go through this.
And you got a pretty nice cup out of the deal.
And I got a fucking awesome water cup out of the deal, yeah. Only cost me $150,000, that's all.
You know, all things considered, it could have been worse. Could have been spicy chicken.
Yeah. The funny thing is that I actually had spicy chicken the day before. And that's what I thought was causing it. Because I really, when I grill on the grill, I really load up the spices. Because not to the point where it's like super hot and no fun to eat, but just the right amount where you go, oh my God, this is delicious. Because usually I don't do like spicy 2 days in a row. But I'd done the chicken on Tuesday, and then we had hamburgers, and I spiced those up good on Wednesday. And I thought, okay, that's just that's what happened here. 2 days of spicy food, that's what's wrong. And that's what made me think it was my stomach.
Robo Greg.
Hold on.
No.
Is it better now?
Yes.
Okay. The way I see it, Robo Greg's better than No Greg, so I'll take it. But anyway, yeah, so I just thought it was the spicy food and stuff. But I, like I said, you know, and we've got plenty of people from the boards and listeners that are over 40. And guys, don't mess around with this shit. I'm not going to preach. I'm glad to be here. I'm happy to be doing the show. I feel like $1 million. And I got lucky real quick. There was no muscle damage to my heart at all, which is damn near a miracle.
Yeah.
My EKGs were perfect every time they took it. And I cannot stress this enough. The Cleveland Clinic, they have a reputation that precedes them, and they earned every bit of it. These people were literally the best I've ever seen at what they do. It was amazing. I refer to that as like they were like a well-played song. They were so fucking good. It was just like you never even worried. They were just that good at their job. So anyway, that's the end of that. So let's move on. I don't want to dwell on it because I don't like talking about it that much. I'm a little embarrassed by it, and I'd like to get the word out. And I promise it's the last thing I'll say about it. On the floor I was at the cardiac center at the Cleveland Clinic, I would say a third of the guys there were a good 15 years younger than I am. There were a lot of guys that were like 30, 35 years old. There were four or five of them on my floor. So just saying, you know, pay attention to the signs. And that's it. We can move on now and do a regular show.
No, it's important stuff.
Yeah.
It really is. So we're all glad to hear you're great. And we can continue doing the show.
Believe me, I don't think I've ever been as happy to do a show as I am this one.
I mean, because really, if we had to come in here and then we'd have to design a memorial patch for you.
Yeah, the Greg Memorial episode of Basically a Sports Show. That's just a whole
we'd
thing.
We'd have to make a black armband for the podcast. A lot of extra work. What it means to be a Cleveland Brown region would be the Greg Memorial region.
Oh, geez. No, let's not even talk about this. I don't like this. I don't like where this is going. I put the thing on Facebook and Andy put hashtag Browns football. So I thought that was fucking funny as hell.
Something that passed us by, and I just wanted to see if, you know, we want to talk about, is the bit of news concerning NBC, the NHL, and the Olympics.
You guys know where I stand on the NHL and the Olympics. I think they made a really bad mistake here.
What has NBC said? That they will not be airing NHL hockey?
Well, it was – the thing was a little blown out of proportion as to what the actual motive is. Mm-hmm. So what the thing is NBC broadcast the Olympics. And you'll find this out, you know, in the coming months, Mike, but – when NBC does anything for the Olympics, they go all out.
Yeah.
You know, every single channel for that period of time, if it's under the NBC umbrella, whether it's NBC, CNBC, MSNBC, NBC Sports.
The business network channel?
All of them.
Occasionally they have to throw some stuff on there. You know, Bravo, Oxygen, all these channels.
If it's an NBC Universal channel, they generally have Olympic coverage on it because there's so much you got to use up all the real estate to cover it.
Right. They'll put like archery on CNBC or right. something during the Winter Olympics. CNBC is the home of curling.
I know what I'll be watching.
Oh, me
too. Yeah, you'll be watching the Business Network for your curling updates.
Well, the C just changes to Curling NBC. It's perfect. That's why they choose. Well,
the best part is always you're watching curling and it's like, you know, after curling, stay around for the money matters.
Right.
That's pretty special.
No, I'm just here for the curling.
Right. Exactly.
But when they do that, so with the amount of time that they commit to the Winter Olympics in this case, there isn't a broadcast window to put hockey on.
Not only that, but it would look kind of out of place. I mean, I don't like the idea, but it would look kind of out of place when you're wall-to-wall Olympics and all of a sudden you drop an NHL game in the middle of it.
Well, and I guess with the way that this one's set up, since all the stuff is mostly going to be happening overnight, that's not necessarily the case. But what the case really is all of their personnel that they would use to broadcast NHL games are going to be broadcasting other things at the Olympics.
Right.
Like,
and
Doc Emrick is going to be over in Pyeongchang calling, you know, the USA Scrubs versus the KHL All-Stars.
And you've got to keep in mind, too, you've got an infinite number of production crews, and they're going to be all used up for the Olympics. I mean, it, from a – I'm putting this all on the NHL because I thought it was idiotic of them to pull out of the Olympics in the first place.
Absolutely.
Because it's such a great window. I mean, okay, you're not watching the Penguins or the Capitals or the Rangers or the Ducks, Maple Leafs, et cetera, but you're still watching the stars of the game play. You still get to see a Sidney Crosby and Ovechkin, you know, the young and up-and-coming guys, the older guys. I mean, it's just dumb not to take that window where you've got a national, international audience and use it to your advantage. It's just silly to me.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly, and that's why I kind of find a lot of humor in this story is that, you know, you really can't blame NBC because I would guess that NBC makes far more money off the Olympics than they do off the NHL.
Definitely.
Well, and the thing for NBC also is I'm sure they pay for the Winter Olympics knowing – I mean, the hockey tournament isn't the number one thing in the Winter Olympics, but it's probably
– it's a top five.
At the very least, the third or something like that.
Yeah, it's definitely in the top five for sure, without question.
And well, curling is number one. So
when they pay for these rights, when they pay for these Olympic rights, they're assuming that the NHL players are going to be in the hockey tournament. Yeah. They're assuming that the NBA players are going to be in the basketball tournament, and et cetera. Mm-hmm. So you know, yeah, figure skating will be fine. Your skiing and that sort of stuff will be fine as well, but hockey's a big draw, especially when the pro players were starting to go over there. And now when I'm an NHL fan, I if I'm in a spot where I can catch one of the Olympic games on, I'll watch it, but it's not going to be my top priority. And now there's going to be no national games for 2 weeks. So unless I didn't buy the NHL package. So otherwise the only games I'm going to be able to watch are Ducks games for that 2.5-3 week span.
And this is going to be rough for a lot of fan bases because, like, not every team has the best local coverage.
Yeah.
Apparently, Carolina's local coverage, from what I've heard, is leaves a lot to be desired.
I bet you we could probably do a better game than those guys do, and that's no knock on them. I just don't think you're going to find. Well, I don't know. There's got to be enough good hockey announcers out there to fill 30 spots or however many teams, 31, I guess. What is it now, 31?
30. Yeah, it's 31 because yeah. Vegas.
But
fighting Vegas.
But the thing with the Olympics is that Zach's exactly right. The figure skating, that's where they sell the ads because that's the women love that. I mean, I'm not being sexist. It's just that look it up. That's the way it is. That's the big ticket item is the figure skating. That's where the ratings come from. But to get the guys, you got to have the hockey. And I think in order to get the guys to really pay attention, you've got to have the best possible hockey you can have. And to be quite honest about it, I don't have a lot of interest in watching a bunch of Cleveland Monsters and whoever. I don't even know if the minor league guys are going. Or is it all going to be college kids again?
If you're an AHL player and you're on an NHL contract,
no dice.
But if you're an AHLer that is on a strictly AHL contract, like you signed with the Cleveland Monsters but not with the Columbus Blue Jackets,
right?
Then you could possibly go. I think that's how that works.
So let me ask you this though. But so what? Like, let's say, like in baseball, they have the 40-man roster. Those are the 40 guys that are technically part of the major league roster, right?
Yeah.
15 of them are always down at the minor league level somewhere along the way. What is the NHL number for that? Like, what's their number? Like the like is it like a set number per team and the minors that are?
I think it's 40 also.
Okay, so basically. You're looking at, okay, so the typical NHL roster is how many? I mean, I know like on an active night it's 20, right?
Yeah, 23, 24.
So my point is even the guys that you get from the AHL are not going to be the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
They're going to be the guys, like if you go to a minor league baseball game, it's the guy you go, man, he's been in the minors for like 14 years. That's the guy you're going to see.
You're going to have college players or minor league burnouts.
Right.
That's what you're going to get in this tournament. And in the past, before NHL involvement, you could do something with that. I mean, you get the Miracle on Ices, but that there were very few and far between. It was mostly the USSR professional team, which as far as we know, the KHL is going to let their players go, I think. So it's just once we let the NHL players in, it's one of those toothpastes already out of the tube sort of situation.
Well, not only that, but what about this? And I think that the Dream Team in basketball had a huge part in making the NBA the global game it is today. the first original Dream Team. Now, granted, hockey doesn't put near the footprint.
Oh, no, it absolutely did. I remember, hell, I grew up in Canada, and when I was a kid during the 96 Olympic, was it 96?
92 was the original Dream Team, was 92.
Well, I remember during I don't remember anything from 92, but I remember during 96, I remember there were, you know, kids in Canada who had Team USA jerseys,
right?
Because it was like a big deal. It's like, this is the Dream Team.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, the NHL, I mean, let's not kid anybody, it does not have the same footprint as the other big three sports do. But the fact remains that when you've got a free window, essentially, it's not costing you. I mean, okay, it's going to cost like operating, whatever. But you know what I mean? The return you're getting on the investment to send these guys over there. And you're letting that go by, and to what end? It's baffled me from the first minute I saw it. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And I know their idea is, we will replace the NHL or the Olympics hockey with the World Cup or whatever we call it.
The World Cup.
Come on. That's like saying that the World Baseball Classic is going to take the place of the World Series. Let's not even kid ourselves. I like the World Baseball Classic because I like baseball. You guys like the World Cup of Hockey because you like hockey, but they're preaching to the choir with those two things. Ain't nobody coming around to go, oh, I got to check out the World Cup of Hockey or the World Baseball Classic. No, you got to go out and go where you don't have the fans. And it just baffles me that they said, we're not going to do this. I just do not understand it. I guess it's an only in the goddamn NHL moment. I don't know.
It's exactly an only, like this, that's exactly what it is. Like, it's just like, well, the NHL, guys, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah.
This is entirely their fault, because, you know, they know it's not this isn't some sort of vendetta by NBC. The New York Post writer Larry Brooks wrote that it's a middle finger to the it's not.
No,
this was scheduled ahead of time. It's just you decided not to go. We already committed our broadcast schedule to this. And normally we assume that you're going to go. So this isn't any sort of thing.
No,
NBC versus the NHL. It's just the NHL pulling another dumb.
And honestly, and again, from a purely numbers point of view, take emotion out of it. Pure logic. What's NBC going to do here, right? Like Olympics or NHL hockey? It's a no-brainer in terms of viewership and money.
Exactly. And not to mention, I mean, how much money do they put out in rights fees to broadcast these Olympics? They can't afford to put anything but Olympic. If there is Olympic coverage they can put on TV, they have to do it, because they've got so much money invested up front in this thing. They got to find a way to make their money back. So, of course, they're not going to do the NHL games. I don't know that if it were the NFL, if they would step aside and go, we're going to put NFL games on during the Olympics. I don't know that they would even go. I mean, maybe that. But that's the only sport, I think, that could break through this. Baseball's not going to do it. Basketball's not going to do it. Hockey damn sure ain't going to do it. And it's just stupid. Since the last time, since 4 years ago, we've now got Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel. Who are some of the other young players? The Domi,
Austin
the kid.
Austin Matthews.
The Domi
Patrick
kid.
Patrick Laine would have played for Finland.
These are all kids that are exciting young players that people that may not generally watch hockey will see. And let's say that we'll use Austin Matthews as an example. He plays for Team Canada. He's American, right? No, he's Canadian.
Yeah. No, he's American.
Okay, so let's say Austin Matthews. He plays for Team USA, right? He goes out and has just a crazy good series. You going to tell me that people aren't going to follow him and go, this kid's good, I want to see what he does in the NHL? I mean, come on.
Well, and the worst part is, you know, as an American hockey fan, and like, I remember in between the times and when we saw the World Cup, as an American hockey fan, we see all these young kids and we're like, maybe the next Olympics is the time that we can finally beat Canada.
Yeah.
And now we're not going to even play the damn thing. And when we went to the World Cup, you know, this last year, as much as a farce as that thing is, they had the under 20 team or under 25 team or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. team was garbage because all their good players were on the Young Stars team.
Oh, but come on. Team USA made up for that with, like, inspiring speeches from generals and truculence.
And grit and jam and, and all that.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I want to see the young kids. Sorry. That's the thing, though. And, you know, to the USA part of it, how long have we been punching that ticket from the 1980 team? Do you think that if they went out and did it again – That no one would care? Come on.
100%. No, they've been punching that ticket, and that's exactly why the team has always been built the way it was, with that grit and jam. We're not as talented as everybody else, so we're beat them at their own game. Well, We were at a spot where we finally had almost an equal talent base, maybe. And now you're not going to get to see it because the NHL wanted to NHL itself.
Well, I mean, it's really, that's been the template since the 80 team, because it was, you know, gritty and whatever. And
yeah. Well, but again, as Zach kind of alluded to back then, you know, if you were Team USA, that's kind of how you had to compete, because
yeah, but let's be honest.
Not to be disparaging, but everyone else was faster.
Right. You remember,
kids going up against the fucking Red Army team.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that was when the Eastern Bloc was still in effect, and, you know, the Soviet Union. So, I mean, it wasn't just the Russian team. I mean, the East Germans were good, the Polish team, the Czech team, the whole bunch, you know? Yep. They were all basically pro teams. But not only that, setting all that aside, it's in my mind still the greatest moment in the history of sports is when they beat the Soviet Union and won the gold medal. That it's just such an amazing upset. But let's be honest about it. You played that thing 1,000 times, it's going to happen once. It was not a template. It was a wow, what just happened type thing. So I don't know.
Greg, because if you listen to the speech, you know, out of 100 times we might be.
Well, he's right though. Yeah,
but not tonight.
Yeah,
not here tonight. You have an opportunity.
Yes, the greatest sports movie ever. I don't care what anybody says.
You can skate with them. You can stick with them. You can show them that we are the best hockey team in the world.
God, you get me all fired up. I'm going to watch that movie when we get off the air here. I'm sick of hearing about the Russians.
Summit Series did it better.
Is that like available on YouTube? Did they do a miniseries on that? I'll have to watch it sometime.
It was a CBC series, so I'm not sure where it would be available. So
it was much more kitschy.
Well, anyway, I think the NHL has made a colossal error in judgment here, but that's hardly... Well,
that's what they do.
Yeah, it's hardly surprising. I just don't know what their logic was with this, and I can't really blame NBC because I don't know. I had to be in the billions that they paid to get the rights. So what do you think they're going to do?
I mean,
even a highly rated hockey game is probably not going to pull a third of what the figure skating will.
No, but I mean, in the figure skating and all that's going to be on regular NBC.
Right.
NBC Sports is probably going to have curling, some curling, some luge.
Yeah, but people love that luge stuff, man. They love the luge. They love the bobsled, the ski jumps, and all that. You know, there's some cool stuff. I don't understand. And I'm glad you brought it up, Mike. I forgot that we were going to talk about this, I think, last week or the week before. But yeah, this is a. I don't know what to say. It was just dumb. I mean, you've got a chance to put. You know, the new young guns, the Matthews and the Eichels and the McDavids on the stage with the Crosbys and the Ovechkins. And just what the hell are you thinking? You know?
World Cup of Hockey. That's what they were thinking.
Well, but there's a lot of star power out there right now. And you just blow the whole opportunity.
That's the NHL for you. It's kind of what they do.
Instead, you put a team in Las Vegas, which made about as much sense as putting another fucking cactus in Las Vegas.
The Vegas Golden Knights are 2-0, Greg.
Are they really?
The fighting James Neals.
He scored 3 out of their 4 goals in franchise history.
Nice. He should quit right now.
All of them in the third period? Or no, the last one was in overtime?
Hey. Not only is he putting up the numbers, he's doing it in clutch time. You can't beat that.
Yeah, well, I mean, to tell you how this season started also, remember how bad the Colorado Avalanche were and the worst team ever assembled? They are currently 2-1 and looking okay.
Yeah, let's talk again in a month and see where we are with those guys. Come on.
If the playoffs started today,
with 79
games into the season,
with 79 games to go, if the playoffs started today,
I just want to say the most important development of the first week for me, though, the Vegas Golden Knights, they're finally on TV. So,
did they get that worked out?
They got it worked out with the big cable provider the day of the season opener. So. But they're on TV.
You know what? Just like an undergrad with a research paper, right in under the wire.
Yeah.
The best thing about their TV broadcast so far, they have sponsors for bits or segments or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the injury report for the Vegas Golden Knights, the injury reports on AT&T Sportsnet Rocky Mountain are presented by Never Too Hungover. It's a hangover prevention drink. That is the best tasting and effective way to help prevent hangovers.
I suppose that's appropriate for Vegas.
Right.
I think that's hysterical. The graphic
says, never too hungover injury report. So basically, you got to think every Vegas Golden Knight is day to day with potential hangover.
Right. I just got to think if you're an announcer, it's got to be tough to keep a straight face when you're doing that read.
And now we cut to the Never Too Hungover injury report, presented by Never Too Hungover. Talking some football.
Waiting all day for Sunday night.
That's not what it is anymore.
I know, which I'm disappointed in.
I did not see any of the college football, but I know there were a couple of significant upsets. Michigan State knocking off Michigan, and boy, this Oklahoma thing sure makes Ohio State's loss to them look even worse now. Man.
It makes some stuff happen.
I like I told Zach, I'm all for some Jim Harbaugh bashing because
I didn't see the game. What happened? I mean, did Michigan just not play them or what? Or Michigan State, I mean, what happened? Did anybody?
I didn't see it either.
From what I gather, Michigan was started off well and they just kind of fell apart in the second half of the game.
Sounds about right.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a 14-10 final, so here you want to know what happened? Michigan still can't score.
God.
Michigan still has a very ineffective offense.
What's Michigan State's record this year? They're not very good, right?
They're 4-1.
Oh, okay. I thought they weren't going to be that great this year.
No, they're 4-1. Oh, good. All right. 2-0 in Big Ten play.
Cool.
They got catapulted into the standings after that. They weren't ranked going in. Yeah.
Now they're 21. Michigan dropped down to 17.
Where were they? They were in the top 10 before that, weren't they?
Seven.
Michigan was 7.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, Michigan was 7 and dropped down to 17. Oklahoma was 3rd, and they dropped down to 12th after they lost to Iowa State.
I'm going to say it again, that Big 12, I can't take a team seriously from that conference.
What happened was Oklahoma was up big. They were up 24-13 at half.
Yeah.
They were 31-point favorites in the game, I believe. And I guess they just, again, like kind of what happened there, they took their foot off the gas a little bit and were saying, oh, well, we'll just, you know, we're fine. We'll be okay. And we'll cruise into next week because I forgot who they play next week, but they have a big game this weekend. They were playing Texas this upcoming week. And they just kind of let Iowa State come out of nowhere and win it in the fourth quarter, 38-31. So down go the Sooners. And college football landscape's a little strange right now. Like you have Alabama, who's, you know, the power. The only other team getting first place votes right now is Clemson. Then you have Penn State 6-0. Georgia is at 4. Washington, TCU, Wisconsin, Wazoo.
And then the Buckeyes. Well, you've got one 4-0 Miami Hurricanes, South Florida and San Diego State, and Navy all undefeated, and UCF, but they're not going to get up that high. Do you guys know they start that college football shit at like 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays?
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
One of the reasons why they don't do it don't do game day on the West Coast too often. Because kids aren't going to get up at 4 a.m. to go.
Because I was in the hospital, so you know you don't sleep normally in the hospital. I mean, I would sleep for 2 hours, I'd be up for 2 hours, and somehow my cycle hit where I was awake at like 5:30. Well, let me tell you, other than infomercials, there's not a whole lot on. I go over to ESPN, and they're like live at 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, oh my god! I mean, I like college football coverage as much as the next guy, but I don't know how many people were up watching that at that point. But anyway, my point is, Paul Feinbaum was on, and they asked him about, they said, who's the team that's going to take October and get themselves back into the playoff hunt? And he said Ohio State. It looks like he might be right about that.
Well, yeah, that's why I still felt okay about SC after them losing to Washington State. Because, yeah, Washington State's up there, and so is Washington. But, like, you look at what's going to happen, you know, ahead of them. So USC's all the way down at 13 right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go through it. So Penn State is third, but Penn State still has to play Ohio State. They still have to play Michigan, and they would still have to play possibly Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game. Wisconsin 7. So that will sort itself out, and some of those teams will fall up to the wayside, and whoever wins the Big Ten probably still makes it back up to the top. Georgia's number 4, but if even if they win the SEC East, They still have to play Alabama, who they would probably lose to, and that would drop them.
Right.
TCU is the leader in the Big 12 clubhouse right now, but they still have to play Oklahoma, and they still would have to play maybe Oklahoma State again in a Big 12 title game situation. And then Washington, Washington State, those two teams play each other, and the winner of that probably plays USC. And then Miami's the only other team that's in there that, you know, they play Clemson. You know, they could lose. Auburn, SEC team, also loses. Like, the thing is still very much in flux. Like, there's a lot of football left to be played.
We're at the halfway
for a lot of these teams.
And like, the teams, like the one-loss teams, like Miami, or excuse me, like USC, even Oklahoma, I suppose, Ohio State, Oklahoma State, kind of, they're kind of in a control-your-own-destiny situation where Ohio State can pick off Penn State because they play them. You know, and then you got to hope that Wisconsin loses, but they can get back in. And same thing with USC. You know, there's going to be some attrition through the Pac-12. So, you know, we said it a million times, but if you're going to lose in college football, lose early. And that's what everybody's done here. So
there's only two teams that I think that are, I mean, Alabama and Clemson, if they're not there at the end of the day, then something really strange has happened.
Yeah.
You know, at some point. And then the rest is kind of up for grabs. And the thing about the rest of it being up for grabs, that's exciting for the rest of us for the rest of the season. But when it comes down to playoff time, if we don't get a third straight Alabama-Clemson title game, then, again, something weird has happened.
I think that I've not seen them play much this year, but what I've seen of Alabama, they just look like they're a step better than everybody else.
They always do.
Yeah, but more so this year it seems than usual. But I don't know that's necessarily that they're that good. But it's just I don't know, man. It's I haven't seen Clemson yet, so I don't know if Clemson's legit. I mean, they must be. Who they beat? They beat
Louisville. Bad.
Yeah, and I thought they had another good one. Didn't they beat like Florida State, or have they not played Florida State? Who am I thinking of?
Virginia Tech, who was 12
right. That's what I was thinking of.
Louisville,
who was
15 at the time. And they beat Auburn, who was 13 at the time. And they still have to play NC State, who is 20 right now, has actually had a pretty good season. And then FSU, of course, is down, and they still get to South Carolina at the end of the season. But
I'm just looking at South Florida and UCF, man. Look at those guys go, huh?
Yeah. Those are the teams that are your leaders in the clubhouse when it comes to the non-Power 5 team.
Right.
That gets to go into one of the bowl games. Right now it would be Notre Dame because they're at 16.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Mike?
I just wanted to say Jim Harbaugh, circling back to him for a moment, he's now 1-4 against Ohio State and Michigan State.
Yeah, Michigan State's had their – I think that's, what, the third or fourth time in a row now that State's beaten Michigan in that rivalry, I think. I can't remember the last time Michigan – was it 2 years ago, Zach, where Michigan State beat them on that blocked punt or whatever it was? That was so
awesome.
That
was 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Didn't Michigan beat them last year?
They may have. I don't remember. But I know that for the last 4 or 5 years, Michigan State has definitely had the better end of that rivalry. And like I said back at the college football preview we did, you can't even call Ohio State-Michigan a rivalry anymore. It has been so one-sided for the last 15 years. It's pointless.
Yeah.
But, going to be an interesting finish here. But I do think that, you know, if you're going to get there to win it, you're going to have to get through Clemson or Alabama to do it. And that's not going to be an easy task for anybody.
Michigan did beat Michigan State last year.
Okay.
But, yeah. It's a strange season in college football because, you know, I think we've talked about this maybe even 2 years ago or so. But when you have your Alabama, you have your Clemson, and then you just have kind of everybody else.
Yep.
And really, I think anybody from 3 to 14 probably could probably beat each other on any given day.
Yep. I'd agree with that. Yep.
Like it's you have the top tier of Alabama, Clemson, and then you have everybody else, and kind of insert them in whatever order you really feel like, you know, week to week.
Yeah. Looking down to 14, the only team that I'm of that group, there's two teams on that I'm not real confident in, and that would be Miami and TCU. I don't know that they're quite that good.
Yeah.
The other ones, I agree with you completely. I mean, well, Washington State's already done it. They beat USC. You know, Wisconsin, they're going to give you a game. I don't care who you are. I mean, they may not beat you, but they're good.
But Wisconsin doesn't have to play anybody.
Yeah. Which helps.
They've got the easy schedule this year. Their only team of note from the other division is Michigan. at the end of the season.
Well, and then you got Auburn in there, and Auburn, you know, the Iron Bowl, anything can happen. So, I mean, Auburn could screw this whole thing up for Alabama, and I kind of hope they do.
Maybe.
But Miami
actually has a few tough games coming down the road here.
Yeah, I just don't see them as coming out of this on the other side of it. Like, you know what I mean? I still see them as like a three, maybe even four loss team. Look, let me see.
Miami has Virginia Tech, and they have Notre Dame, but if they get through all that, because they already beat Florida State, who's down because of injuries. And then they have to play the ACC title game where they play Clemson. So, they could have a very nice season, but I don't think they'll beat Clemson.
Look at that. You know what, though? Looking at their schedule, they don't really have a tough game until, well, Georgia Tech, you never know what they were going to do. But,
I said, they got Virginia Tech and Notre Dame, but I think those are winnable games for them.
Yeah, definitely.
But then they still have Clemson in the ACC title game, which would knock them right back out. So,
yeah.
I mean, they might be in a high-level bowl consideration, but
I don't know if they were just wearing like throwbacks or something, but at least they look like the Hurricanes the last two times I've seen them. The uniforms look a lot better, and that's important.
Yeah, it's one of those seasons. We've seen it before where there's a couple really, really good teams, and you know they are, and then there's kind of everybody else that'll fill in the gaps.
Interestingly enough,
that's what until they play the games. So,
interestingly enough, I think someone posted in the CCSLC thread for college football the link to Mississippi State or University of Mississippi if you wish to apply to be their football coach.
Yeah, Ole Miss is. I love the public universities because they have to list these things.
Yeah,
and so like the requirements were like. Well, 3 years of coaching experience and a bachelor's degree.
Look, it's like, guys, I won the Super Bowl 5 years in a row on Madden, so...
Yeah, I mean, Mike could be like an assistant coach at his school for 3 years and apply for that job.
Yeah.
I've been an offensive line coach at this local middle school for 3 years, and I have a bachelor's degree in fine arts.
Yeah, well, speaking of football, and I don't know how I'm trying to find a segue here, but we're talking about the Miami Hurricanes. Have you guys seen what's going on with that offensive line coach for the Dolphins? Did you guys see this?
Poured some coke.
Well, they're calling it white powder because you can't prove it, but I'm going to take my word for it. Those were three really big lines of cocaine he was snorting up there.
Yeah, and the best part was the video was leaked by a stripper on Twitter.
Oh, is that who he was talking to when he said, like, I miss you and all that?
I guess. It wasn't on Twitter. It was on Facebook. But, yeah.
Who, what meeting was he? Was he talking about a team meeting or, like, a Narcotics Anonymous meeting?
No, like, he's at the Miami Dolphins coaching offices.
Oh, my God. Have you seen this, Mike?
No.
Let me find his name. His name's, something Forrester. I can't remember his first name.
It doesn't matter. He's not somebody you've ever heard of.
He's one of the better line coaches in the league, though, isn't he?
I mean, it hasn't exactly helped the Dolphins too much, but sure. Maybe it's because he's been high on coke.
Here, Dolphin coach video. You got to see this, Mike. I mean, this dude, he's got like, you know, like a, just a couple of big old rails out there, and he's just blasting them up, and I'm like, wow. He resigned. Okay. Because as of earlier today, I didn't know what had happened with him. I'm trying to find a link to the video that I can show Mike. What's his name again? Chris Forrester. There it is. All right, let me try that. What a dumbass. It reminds me of my favorite college professor always said, never say anything in front of a camera or a microphone that you don't want the whole world to see. And this is back in 1991, long before we had all the social media and stuff. She was saying this. But, yeah, it's videos. Where is he? What, they take it down? Oh, there it is. Oh, these guys just coming right out and saying it. He was caught snorting cocaine. But, yeah, it was funny.
Miami. What else are you going to do?
I was watching, ESPN, and, like, it was white powder, and what's his name? Adam Schefter. He's like, it's white powder, but we all know what we think it is. It's like, yeah. There it is. There's a good link to it.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where you can't call it that, just, you know.
Right, because you can't say for sure, but.
Allegedly.
Yeah. But, you know, he's got the $20 bill, and. You know, I'm not going to lie. I was around cocaine back in the 80s, and that's exactly what it looks like. That's exactly how you do it. It had all the characteristics. The only thing that troubled me was, like, if he's by himself, I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, he's snorting it with a rolled up 20. All right. That's coke.
Yeah. That's how you do it.
But the thing that bothers me is that five lines that are pretty good size there, that's a lot of cocaine. And which either means that he's a really big dude or he's got a pretty bad problem that he needs that much of that shit just to get a buzz on. Cause I'm going to tell you, if any of us snorted that amount of cocaine, we'd drop dead on the spot. That's a lot. That's like a, God, I'm really giving a, it's probably like at least a quarter gram, maybe even a half a gram. And that's a lot. And he's just like hoovering that shit right up, man. Unbelievable. What a dumbass.
Yeah.
Has he explained why he made a video of it?
No, of course not.
Okay. All right. I don't know.
I haven't seen the video. Like, I've seen stills of the video, but I haven't, like, listened to it.
It looks like he's addressing his girlfriend.
Yeah. And he says something along the lines of, can you imagine me doing this before I go to a meeting? And I thought, well, yeah, now we can all imagine it because we're watching it. Anyway, so fuck this guy. I mean, I hope he gets some help because that's a lot of coke. It really is. And no, I mean, it is. I saw that. I'm like, wow. You know, the thing is, with there being five of those on the table, he might have been there with someone else that we didn't see on camera. But cocaine's not usually a community drug, so I'm thinking that's probably all his. But anyway, let's talk about the actual game itself. Screw this guy.
Yeah, sure.
Zach, what happened to your Rams?
Turnovers. I
didn't see much of it. Boy, the uniform sure looked good, though. Oh.
Yeah, no, the throwbacks look great. The Rams, 16-10 to the Seahawks. Look, they had one touchdown on their opening drive that didn't go in because Todd Gurley was running towards the end zone, was trying to keep extend the football out and maybe touch the pylon as he was diving out. But as he was stepping out of bounds, his arm got hit that was holding the ball with one hand and it was coming out as he hit the line. It was like when exactly was his toe on the line, the ball coming out. But anyway, the ball came out and hit the pylon. So that was a touchback instead of a touchdown.
Oh,
So they would have been up 17 or they would have been up 7-0 then. Then they eventually, you know, they scored another touchdown later. The Rams do. So they could have been up like 14-0 at a certain point, and the game was probably a heck of a lot different. And then, you know, five turnovers through the game. Tavon Austin drops a punt recovery. The offensive line, who had been actually pretty good for a while, they let the rush kind of get to Jared Goff a little bit. And he's getting hit when he throws one for an interception. Gets hit by another when he fumbles the ball on a sack fumble. But even through and also they missed a field goal from their always automatic kicker who made seven field goals last week. But
well, even that, and then at the end of the game, there he had what's his name, Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp had the ball right on his hands.
Right on his hands the first time, and the second time he was so clearly interfered with, and they didn't call it.
Yeah, I guess they thought the pass was low, but I mean, he's still getting hit.
Yeah, so it was clearly interference on the last play of the game. They didn't call it, but
so here's my thing. Despite one touchdown essentially being taken away, a missed field goal, five turnovers, and dropping the potential game-winning touchdown pass, the Seahawks still only won by 6 points.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Rams, the thing that was impressive to me, the Rams defense had kind of been up and down and not trying to find their feet with a new scheme with Wade Phillips and all that. While the offense had really carried them for the first three games, on Sunday the offense sputtered, but the defense looked great. The defense looked really, really good for the Rams, and that was very encouraging to me. That despite all the troubles the offense finally had, that they only lost by six.
Yeah.
The offense get back on track. Defense plays like it did. This team is fine. They're both 3-2. Yes, the Seahawks technically have that little edge in the division now, but they play again one more time, and we'll see what happens then. But still, not a good game to lose, but it was fine. Yeah, I'm not upset about it really.
And I'm with Mike. They need to just bite the bullet, pay the fine, and wear those uniforms all the time.
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh man,
so better. And I will thank the Seahawks for wearing their white pants
yep.
instead of the dingy gray ones that they wear.
Yep.
road, that looked really great.
Yeah, I thought it's going to probably make my best list this week. I thought it looked really good. Yeah. How about the Jacksonville Jaguars, guys? Are we in on them yet or not?
I think I'm in on them.
I think I am too.
We went from Saxonville to Sucksonville. And now we're at Pick-Sixonville. Is that what we want to call them? Two pick sixes, five interceptions of Ben Roethlisberger in that game.
Oh.
I think Roethlisberger's toasted. I think we've gotten to the point where Roethlisberger maybe has hit the wall. I mean, because he's not a young guy.
No, and I think that I like the Steelers coming into the season. I think we're five games in. There's no more overreacting. I don't think they're very good.
No, they're 3-2, so they're still in first place in that division, but they're not great.
This might be the worst division in football this year.
They're not great. The Ravens, despite winning and being 3-2, still aren't very good.
And then you've got the Bengals, who are 2-3, and then the Browns.
And the Browns, who are getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
They're already benching Deshaun Kizer, Greg.
Huh?
Deshaun Kizer already got benched. They're at Kevin Hoganville now.
Oh, geez. Really?
Yeah.
Add another name.
They're on the Kevin Hogan wagon. They lost to the Jets.
Jets are 3-2, guys.
Remember at the start of the season where we were like, Browns, you're not the Jets?
Yep. Well, we were right about that.
Who do you think the Browns would rather have, Deshaun Kizer and Kevin Hogan or Josh McCown again?
Josh McCown's all like, hey, you miss me? That's right. I got us into field goal range for that field goal that ended up winning us the game. Because that's what I do. I manage.
I mean, but okay, just I don't want to stay on the Browns too much because what can you say at this point? They're 0-5 again, and they've lost to teams like if you look at their schedule, most people are like they could be 3-2 at this point. Well, guess what? They're not. I'm not seeing the improvement I hoped for. And I don't know if you blame that on the coaching.
I thought this was going to be like the start of a turnaround. No, this team is not good.
No, and it's like, so do you blow it up again? I mean, what do you do at this point? I don't know.
They lost to Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh, we're seeing, isn't exactly the world beater that we thought they'd be.
Right.
They lost to Baltimore. Again, Baltimore's not, like, good. They lost to the Colts.
Yeah.
And luckless Colts, I might add.
They got blown out by the Bengals, and they lost to the Jets, who were supposed to.
It's not like they've had to play like the Patriots, the Chiefs.
I agree.
Or the Packers, right? They've played some pretty mediocre teams.
Yeah.
And they're 0-5.
As I look at this now, like at the beginning of the season, when I remember we were looking at the schedule, I said, well, maybe the Browns win 7 or 8 games.
Mm.
Like looking at them now and kind of reevaluating what their schedule looks like. Jesus.
Houston, maybe 10, because Tennessee's kind of sputtered. Maybe.
Well, Tennessee, if they get Marcus Mariota back, then that's not right. When they're playing with Matt Castle, then it's an entirely different.
Yeah, I mean, that's Tennessee's biggest problem right now is their quarterback's down. But, they're at the Texans, Titans, Vikings, Lions, Jags.
They're playing the Clippers. That could work to their advantage.
Yeah, they get the Bengals again, but the Bengals blew them out. The best thing was somebody, the announcer for the Chargers-Giants game, actually called the Chargers the Clippers. It's good.
I just see that LAC monogram, man. Clippers.
Yeah. Hey, like, you know, it's LAC and everything else fits. Must be the Clippers.
Yeah, no, 100%. They get the Bears. There's maybe at best like 3 games that they could possibly win left on the schedule.
Yeah.
Because they're just not there.
I just don't know what you do at this point. I mean, it's clear that the players they're picking aren't – I'm trying to think of like a draft pick that's worked out pretty well. I mean, now they picked up Garrett and what's his name? Peppers this year and a couple of –
Yeah, and Myles Garrett finally played this week. On his very first play from scrimmage, he had a sack, so good for him.
Yeah.
But
I just don't know what you do. I mean, I thought Hugh Jackson was going to be a pretty good coach, but – It's the same problem they've had all along. They don't have a quarterback, and that's a problem.
Well, they have to give this coach. They can't just fire him. They need to give him. Fuck it. At this point, I don't know what you do, but I say give them 5 years.
Yeah.
See what happens. What's the worst that I mean? What's the worst that can happen in 5 years? They still suck. They're going to suck again if they fire him.
Right.
Might as well give him time to at least see if he can do something.
You're exactly right. They are going to suck for the next 2 years, no matter which direction they go in. So why not give him a shot to see if we can implement his whole program and see what happens?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're just god awful. I just don't. I've seen absolutely. If anything, they've regressed. I think
the Jets. God damn it. The 3-2 New York. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but anyway, I don't know what to say about it. It's just you know, what do you do at this point? Oh, Bears are tonight. I was going to say, who do they play this week? But that's tonight.
No, they're playing the Vikings in the NFC North. That isn't the, you know, Packers game.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got here. So let's go through some of these a little bit.
Let's go down the line here.
Pats Bucks. Nice game for the Patriots. But that's against the Buccaneers blue.
I did not see this one. I was preoccupied.
I watched the first half of it, and then I was like, I'm going to watch something else. I don't know.
Were the Bucks competitive, or was it just like pretty
close? The Bucks were definitely competitive. The Bucks held their own. They did. I mean, they never let the game really get away from them. So that's good. I mean,
yeah,
the Bucks outscored them in the second half.
I just had the Bucks at being a better than 2-2 at this point. You know, I mean, granted, they've got a game that they've got to make up down the road, but you know, they're a game behind everybody because they missed the first week. But I thought they'd be better than this.
I know there's a lot of I heard a lot of stuff this week, and especially after that game because it was Thursday, you had the extra day to talk about it.
Yeah,
people were kind of questioning Jameis Winston at this point. Like, it's only his second year, but he's still a guy that you thought you would have seen.
More of? Right, exactly. I agree with that.
And he just hasn't gotten there. People keep waiting for it, but he hasn't really shown it or done it in a fashion that makes people really sold on what he is. So.
He's shown flashes, but it hasn't been consistent enough, and yeah. I'm with you. He should be showing more at this point. If nothing else, he should be more consistent, and he's not.
Yeah, especially with the Patriots. That defense had been
terrible.
Terrible for the last few weeks. They had a short week. It's not like they had a long time to prepare and fix the problems, but they still only managed the 14 points.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know. That's a tough one, I think, if you're the Buccaneers. At home on a Thursday night against a team with a rough defense, you should be putting up points and winning.
You also got to kind of throw the Thursday night factor into that, too. You know, which I don't know how much of it plays into it, but it could, I don't know, but. I just expected more out of them. I thought they'd be a lot better than this. And I don't know. I don't think they're going to be bad or anything, but I don't think they're any better than they were last year. I think we all thought they would be improved, and I don't know necessarily that they are, the Bucs.
It was just kind of honestly a lackluster game. The Bucs had their problems. They didn't really do much. The Patriots were kind of flat, too. They obviously did more than the Bucs did, but it was kind of a dull game.
Yeah.
Made worse by the fact that the Buccaneers seem to have magically found uniforms worse than their regular set, which is the Color Rush set.
Well, the uniform note out of this is the Patriots wore white pants for the first time in, like, what, 25 years or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, since they switched over since, what, at least 95, 96, right?
Since they switched to the current logo,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, I think the last time they had worn white pants was 92. If I remember reading that right.
How did the unit – I mean, I'm thinking them in all white probably didn't look half bad.
It was a clean look. I think I prefer them of silver just because for some reason I don't really care for white pants with silver helmets. If the helmet is silver, I like the pants to be silver.
I agree. I do too.
And so I think the Patriots' regular road look was much better. But, you know, it was fine. It was clean. It didn't look bad. The Bucks and all in head to toe red with pewter alarm clock numbers. That was stupid.
Yeah, not great.
I still want to meet the people that saw that uniform and went, yeah, this is better than what we're wearing. I do.
On Sunday, Colts 49ers was such a dumpster fire.
It looked good.
But I don't want it other than the Colts let the 49ers score 17 points in the fourth quarter to force overtime.
Yeah, you know, but I'm not saying the Colts are going to be good because they're not going to be. But when you lose Andrew Luck and you think that Scott Tolzien's your quarterback,
well, it's Jacoby Brissett now.
I know, but that's what I was going to say. With Jacoby Brissett, at least it gives them a fighting chance. And these are not going to be entirely uninteresting or anything. So there's that for the Colts. But no, they're not. They're not going to be good. But at least they won't be god freaking awful now.
Hey, we're still on track. We've got 2-0-5 teams.
Three. You can't forget about the New York Football Giants.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
The quest for 0-16 is still alive and well.
Yeah. Fortunately, the LA Football Clippers pulled a real clipper and couldn't be just outright terrible. They had to, be just mediocre. Yeah. So they did win a game there.
Hey, you know what? The Chargers have always managed to beat Eli Manning since he snubbed them in that draft. Well, I don't know why.
It didn't help Eli that Odell Beckham broke his ankle.
God, really? So he's out for the year or what?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, man.
This is why people are like, yeah, no, the Giants are done. They're not only 0-5, but Beckham went down. So
see, but there's always a silver lining because now they're in the running for the kid from USC or Josh Rosen from UCLA or whatever. Right. Yeah.
That's the hilarious thing, right? So we were sitting here before the season like, oh, the Giants could maybe win the division. They're a playoff team, and the Jets are going to be the worst team of all time. They'll get themselves a new quarterback. Well,
yeah, just not so much.
Stadium, just flip the story. if you had said at what point, if by week five, who would be 3-2 and who'd be 0-5?
Oh,
you'd easily say the other way around.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't know what the hell the Giants' problem is. They're bad. We know that now, but I don't know why that offense is as stale it is. I don't know why that defense just can't do anything. It's a strange one. And really, having to watch part of this game, it was not a good football game by any stretch either, despite it being kind of exciting at the end of it. This is a lot of bad football games this weekend. Some real, real stinkers.
Yeah, I don't feel like I missed much by watching a lot of it.
Are you saying Titans Dolphins didn't blow you away, Zach?
No, I'm sitting here in the morning, and the only morning game that was on was the one that was on locally was Chargers Giants, and I had that on because
you wanted to support your hometown team, right?
Yeah,
I keep watching the Chargers games because they were playing at home, and I just wanted to laugh at that. But now it's they're in an actual road game. I had no real interest in that.
Yeah, it's so fun if they're it's so fun if they're on the road. The joy of watching the Chargers this season is watching them get booed by Eagles fans in their own stadium.
And then it's the 49ers Colts, which was garbage. Bills Bengals. The Bills lost a game that they really shouldn't have.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because the Bengals are bad. I don't know what to make of that at all. Then you had Jets Browns, and who the hell gives a damn? The Titans with Matt Castle going against the Dolphins that are bad with Jay Cutler. And congrats to the Dolphins for pulling 2-2. Chargers Giants was bad. Eagles Cardinals the blowout. The Jaguars were up on the Steelers. It was there was nothing to watch except for Panthers Lions was the only decent game.
And that one was weird too because we were all the Panthers are 3-1, but they're a bad 3-1, and we were all up on the Lions, but the Panthers come in and
yeah.
I watched a bit of that game, actually, and the Panthers looked this wasn't a game that Detroit blew. I thought Detroit, did a lot of good things in this game, but the Panthers, they did not look like the sucky team that we had seen for the past couple of weeks. The Panthers looked pretty damn good.
Well, we said at the beginning of the season.
The Panthers are awake.
Yeah. We said at the beginning of the season that the Panthers, they were the team that could put it back together. Mm-hmm. It just didn't look like they were going to there for the first few weeks of the season. They were winning, but they weren't doing it impressively. It looks like they might have finally found the answer because that was a nice win for them. And they're 4-1 now.
Cam Newton has harnessed the powers of misogyny, and he's going to tell them.
Yeah, that was the only other real news item for the week in the NFL. And I don't even know what to say about it because it was just so stupid.
Yeah.
For those that didn't, were under the rock for the week.
Like me. Or under the knife, as it were.
Yeah, Cam Newton, at a press conference earlier in the week, this reporter for the Charlotte Observer, I think her name was Jordan Rodrigue, she was doing a story. She had talked to Devin Funchess, one of his wide receivers, about what things he's done to improve this season. And it was, he's improved his route running and stuff like that. So she asked Cam Newton about what he's seen from the route running of Devin Funchess. So Cam Newton just sat back there and said, it's so funny to hear a female ask about running a routes.
Yeah, that was not the smartest thing to say at that point.
And he made a face like, oh, I'm making a joke. And it's like, it's not funny, Cam.
No.
And then, of course, like afterwards, you know, apparently she went to go talk to him and like sort it out. And his defense was like, well, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't have said females. I should have just said reporters. It's like, so you wanted to meet everybody in the room that's trying to talk to you about your job on a weekly basis?
It was
just another example of, well, you haven't played the game sort of thing. It's even worse for female reporters, and I really feel for any woman that wants to go into this business because you get a lot of shit thrown at you.
Yeah.
They really need it. Like the Panthers just kind of like need someone whose job it is to stand just off camera at press conferences. And like, as soon as like Cam starts to go on something that doesn't sound like it could end well, like they just usher him off the stage. Like, this press conference is over. Mr. Newton will be available later for comments.
Well, yeah. I mean, he could have,
he has some of the worst public perception at this point,
mm-hmm.
you know, between the pouting after the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And this stuff, and you know, and I hell, even last week, because they had sucked for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they beat the Patriots, and he's running to the locker room, bouncing around like, no interviews for anybody. You guys didn't want to talk to me before the game, so you don't get to talk to me after the game. Nope. Yeah. And it was like, just don't be an asshole. Like, I know that you're personable and you like to have fun. Clearly, all these things are just bad jokes turned wrong. Just do your job. Part of your job is talking to the media and dealing with them in a professional manner. But Cam Newton can't seem to get his foot out of his fucking mouth.
Nope.
He's off.
That's, you hit it right on the head. And he can try to spin it like it's just weird to hear from a reporter. That's bullshit. He was totally being sexist with, like, you know, it's so weird to hear. What do you say? It's so weird to hear this coming from a female or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having a female asking me about running routes.
Dude, it's 2017. You know?
Yeah. And there's plenty of girls that
you got what's her name? I can't think of she used to do the games at ESPN calling NFL games now. Yeah. Pam, what's her name? I can't think of her name.
Beth Mullins?
Is that it? I remember, but yeah, you know, her, you've got I can't think of her name again, the girl that's doing the ESPN baseball. This is hardly unusual for this.
We were doing a story, or not doing a story, but we were trying to keep track of this stuff in our football office here at our local paper. We know we have at least six girls that are on high school football rosters this year. And we put out a story about one of them that's a kicker. And yeah, she's a kicker, but like a reporter from somewhere else that used to work here, she retweeted the story and said, I wonder if she knows how to run a route. And it's like, well, probably.
Well, I was watching. There was a video, I don't know, a few weeks back where a girl threw a touchdown pass in a high school game. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just a dumb thing to say. And he put out his apology. And it was one of those, I'm sorry to anyone who I offended.
Might have offended type deals, right? Like, I don't know what your problem is, but
just sorry that some people didn't like what you said.
If I pissed you off by saying something stupid, sorry about that.
Yeah. It's I hate that. But, you know, despite him being an idiot, he's playing well these last couple games, and he's got the Panthers turning back in the right direction.
Well, so. They're 4-1. I mean, that, you know, that's what that's
they're
what
on top
is.
Of that division right now.
Yep.
You know,
I think I'm in on the Philadelphia Eagles. I think they're good.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they haven't beaten anybody. It's the Cardinals, but they're 4-1.
Yeah.
And look at this. Okay, they played one good team and lost the Chiefs. So okay, maybe they're not good after all.
But after what we saw last night, the Chiefs are the best team in the league right now.
You think so?
Yeah, I think I don't. There are other teams that are up there with them. But if we're putting together power rankings,
right?
There's no way that the Chiefs aren't the number. Despite them being the only undefeated team, they just look so much better than everybody else they've played so far.
Well, I mean, Kareem Hunt has just been, like I said, he's this year's Ezekiel Elliott. He's good. He's legit. Alex Smith, I'm looking here, 324 yards, 3 touchdowns. Yeah. And the Texans, they lost J.J. Watt?
For the season, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, for actor.
Wow.
I feel so bad for that guy, too. He just can't stay on the field anymore.
Wow. But, yeah, I think the Chiefs are definitely good. I'm still going back to what I said about the Patriots. I think they'll still win the division, but I think they're more like a 10-6 than they are a 12-4.
I agree with that at this point.
And
I am going to say this though. I think I'm entirely off the Raiders at this point.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's hard. It's getting hard to hang in there, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the problem is that they played this game with EJ Manuel.
That's true. That's right, because Derek Carr's out. Right.
And according to Jack Del Rio, I don't know if you want to take his word for it or not, but he says that Derek Carr will probably get back to practice this week. I don't know about that. I think with him, you want to be as safe as you possibly can be.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you're in the division with the Chiefs, and the thing is that you're 2-3 now. You're already, what, three games behind the team? They're the first place team in your division. Yeah. You've got you're probably realistically looking at a wild card spot now, and this thing can get away from you quick. You lose a couple more games, and it's an uphill battle the rest of the way. But I'm with Mike. I mean, I don't know if I'm completely off him yet, but it's getting harder to hang with him. I got to be honest. And what was I looking at? I was just going to – shoot, who did I just see I want to talk about? Oh, and the Ravens. Like I said, I don't think the Ravens are great, but I think they're – I'm not so sure that this was a fluke. I think they're pretty good. They're not great, but they're not – they're going to have moments where they're going to look good and they're going to be bad, but I think that you're still going to look at a playoff team when the end of the season. I think they're going to be 9-7, 10-6. You're still good enough to make the playoffs, the Ravens, I believe.
I don't know about that. I still think that – like, look at the teams that they beat, okay? They beat the they beat the Browns,
right?
Who are bad. They beat the Bengals, who are bad, and they beat the Raiders without Derek Carr.
Yeah,
they lost big to the Jaguars in London, who the Jaguars have, I guess, proved that they're okay. I still don't know what to do with them totally. And they lost to the Steelers, who you just said were bad. They lost them 26-9.
Okay, well, maybe I'm wrong then. I'm saying, though, I think that looking at them, I'm not putting them, like, if we had a power ranking, they'd be like 13. I'm saying that I think they have just enough to compete for a wild card spot in the AFC. I still believe that. I don't know that I could be wrong. Well, I guess my point is that they're not going to be like a 5-11 team. They're still going to be hovering around 500, and a couple breaks fall their way. They're a playoff team. They're not great by any definition, but they can have moments.
I think if anything, what this weekend of NFL football showed us is that there's only one, maybe two good teams.
Yeah.
And the rest is just kind of a middle ground. Like it's kind of a down
year. There's a lot of middling football out there.
Right. Yeah.
But I think there is one team that maybe has made that jump. They've done it tight. But I want to know what you think about your Packers now, Greg. They win probably the game of the weekend. The Cowboys gave Aaron Rodgers just enough time to march down the field. And a great story for Davante Adams to catch that touchdown pass.
Yeah, that was awesome. All of that.
Last week's game. But they win 35-31, and they're 4-1.
Yeah.
What do you think of your Packers right now?
I like it, and I think in a season like this, with the league being what it is, or you don't see a truly dominant team in the NFC, you like their chances. But there are just two things that just keep troubling me. The defense, it has moments where it's pretty good, but it's not something I'm really confident in. I get that he's Aaron Rodgers and all that, but it just seems to me like they rely on him way too much. Now, I understand that he's the quarterback and all that, and maybe that doesn't make sense. Maybe I'm not painting the picture I'm trying to here, but it seems to me like you need to diversify just a little bit, because it's just I'm not quite on board yet. I mean, yeah, they're 4-1. Nice win against the Cowboys, who I thought would regress this year, so that's fine too, but I'm just nervous about them. I'm not completely sold yet, if that makes any sense. They're just there's a little things here and there but like I said, with the NFC being what it is this year, you know, they've got as good a shot at going to the Super Bowl as anybody does out of that conference. So that's nice. What are your thoughts? What do you think about them?
I think they might be the best team in the NFC. It's either them or the Eagles.
Yeah.
It's
just they got their asses handed to them by Atlanta. And I'm not saying Atlanta's not good, but Atlanta exploited all the things that I think are wrong with the Packers, and they did a good job of it.
Yeah, it's true. I just think Aaron Rodgers allows them to be at a level that some teams can't reach.
Right.
Like, how many teams could do what Aaron Rodgers did for the Packers at the end of that game?
Maybe the Patriots with Tom Brady. There's a couple guys that can do that, but for the most part, not too many.
Like, if the Eagles are up by 4 points and they're playing the Packers and they're in Philadelphia. Do the Eagles – and there's how much time was left in that game? Like a minute?
About a minute. A little over a minute, maybe a minute 10, something like that.
Can Aaron Rodgers do that against the Eagles?
I think so.
Yeah? Can he do that against the Falcons?
If the score is there, sure. Yeah. You know, but I just think the Falcons did a really good job of exploiting all the problems with the Packers defense. But, you know, hey, 4-1, especially after that ass kicking they took at the hands of the Falcons, I'm happy with 4-1. And I didn't think they were going to win yesterday because, you saw it, they couldn't seem to get off the field with the Cowboys, you know. But we'll see. I'm happy. Believe me, I'll take a 4-1 over 2-3 anytime you want. But I'm just still a little concerned about the defense. And I still think it should be nice if they could figure out at least a semblance of a running game with that team, I guess is my point. And they don't seem to have one.
I want to look at, just because I open it up, and I think it's kind of interesting to look at right this second, not that I think it'll stay this way at all, but these are what the playoffs would consist of if the season ended today.
Okay.
You'd have the, in the AFC, Chiefs as the number one seed, 5-0. Bills as the number two seed at 3-2. The Bills getting a first round bye.
Over the Patriots?
I guess the way the tiebreakers work out, they have
a
tiebreaker.
All right.
Jacksonville is leading the AFC South at 3-2. Pittsburgh is leading the AFC North at 3-2. Then your two wild cards would be the Broncos at 3-1. They had a bye this week, so they only played four games. And the Jets, funnily enough, based on how the tiebreakers work out, they would be in the playoffs as of right now.
I don't think that's going to last.
The Ravens also at 3-2, and then the Dolphins or the Patriots are also 3-2. In the NFC, your number one seed is the Philadelphia Eagles. Number two is the Packers. Three is the Panthers. All three of those teams are 4-1. Then the Seahawks are in the lead in the NFC West based on the win over the Rams. And then your two wild card teams would be the Atlanta Falcons at 3-1. They also had a bye. And the Lions are at 3-2. They have the tiebreaker over the Rams, who are also 3-2.
I can see that NFC playing out pretty much like that with the Rams having to fight their way. You know what I mean? Like, I could see those teams. I don't know that the AFC is going to stay quite like it is right now, but I can see the NFC holding up pretty true to form right there.
Yeah, because you have Minnesota at 2-2. They play tonight. I you know, if they beat the Bears, great. They'll be 3-2 also, but I don't think they're built for the long haul.
No.
Saints are also 2-2. They had a bye. Not built for the long haul. Tampa Bay is disappointing, and they should be better.
Yeah,
but they're also 2-2. Redskins are 2-2. They were on a bye, and then you have Cowboys 2-3, Cardinals 2-3, and then the rest.
The Redskins are a real X factor. You just don't know what you're getting with those guys.
Yeah, you know? I think of those teams that aren't in that group right now. Maybe the Bucks make a run, but I think the best of that other group is the Redskins.
Yeah, I'd go along with that.
Some noise,
yeah,
and mess things up. And then in the AFC is still a little bit kind of what we thought, though. I mean, besides the surprise teams, there's going to be five teams that are fighting for that last wild card spot.
Yep.
For the most of the season, just depends on how things shake out.
Yeah, I think this might be the closest we've come to true parity in the NFL in a single season that I've ever seen.
Yeah, we've said it a lot, but I mean, every time that we go through this, we kind of prove that fact kind of bears out again when we talk more and more.
I think the Chiefs are good, and that's definite. You got some like the Chiefs are definitely good, and the rest you're going, okay, they might be, they probably are. You know, it's just a weird season, and the freaking Jets. I mean, I just can't get past that 3-2. We thought they were worse than the Browns to start the season.
Well. Yeah, I don't think anyone's worse than the Browns.
No.
Really, the worst thing the Jets did was sign Luke McCown.
Yeah, it was dumb.
It's a stupid thing to say, but...
Well, it is, because, I mean, the guy, I mean, he's not, by any definition, an elite quarterback, or even like, I don't think he's like a mid-level quarterback, but he's good enough to win four or five games, you know? Especially when you've got a shitty schedule like they've got. Like, I think they're playing like a last place schedule or a fifth, whatever, but...
Yeah, well, they play the Patriots this week, so... Hopefully things will get righted there. And then they're at the Dolphins, which I guess could go either way at this point. Then they have Falcons, Bills, Bucks, Panthers, Chiefs, Broncos, Saints, Chargers, Patriots.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to see them beat the Patriots. I think that would be awesome, but I don't think that'll happen. But if Luke McCown goes and beats the Patriots, then maybe the Jets are legit. Who knows? I don't know.
God help us if that's really the case. I don't know if I want to live in a world where Luke McCown and the Jets have a game lead on the Patriots.
Well, I'll take it because it would knock the Patriots out of the division title race. But other than that, yeah, I'm kind of with you. But yeah, it was probably a mistake. They needed to just, I don't know who they had before that, but they just needed to let it. Oh, the Hackenberg kid, right? Or whatever his name is from Penn State, the one that couldn't get off the field.
He couldn't break the huddle.
He's still standing around at the practice facility. It's like 5 weeks into the season, and he can't figure out how to get home. But I don't know. It's just a crazy season in the NFL. I mean, we thought college football was wide open. I think the NFL is really wide open this year.
Yeah.
Because as good as the Chiefs are, the Andy Reid thing, and how long can the offense keep doing this? Because I don't think anybody expected. I think we knew the Chiefs were going to be good. I didn't see them as like a powerhouse offense good, and that's what they look like right now. So it's going to be a weird year. And the Jaguars, what the hell do you make of them? I mean, man, they look great one week and terrible the next. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, man.
Yeah.
It's weird when you say, well, the Chiefs are far and away the best team in the league, but they'll probably lose in the first round.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a bit surprised, would you?
Yeah.
No, because that's just how Andy Reid teams roll.
Yeah. I mean, like this team right now, you look at them and go, they should win the Super Bowl this year, but we know they're not going to. Don't even get excited about it. Anyway, I don't know. We got anything else? Cubs and Nats are tied 1-1 in the eighth. Oh, this series is a 5-game, right?
Yes.
The division series? Okay. Yeah. I mean, Mr. Baseball over here. I'm like, how many games was that series? Anyway, if we get... Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying the Yankees avoided the sweep against your Indians.
Yeah. I'm not worried, though.
You're not. I saw a Cleveland fan in the thread at the CCSLC who is now convinced the Yankees are going to win the next two.
Oh, please. He was probably – he probably thought that. He probably thought they were done after they were down 8-3 in game two. Come on.
No, to be fair, I thought they were done after they were down 8-3.
I am done in that game, sure, but I mean in the whole series I'm talking.
Yeah, I don't know. The Indians have too much raw talent to blow the next two games.
I think they're the best team in baseball right now. Although Houston, if they get past the Yankees, they'll be playing Houston. And you can make an argument they're the best team in baseball right now.
Houston, Cleveland would be a pretty good ALCS, I think.
Yeah, you got the pitching against the hitting, which is
Even if Houston in the AL is still weird and unnatural to me.
I don't like it. It's funny. My brother and I were talking about that because he said the Indians will play the Astros. If the Indians win and Houston wins, I'm like, yeah, that's right. And he goes, I can't get used to Houston being in the American League. I said, no one can. No one likes it. I don't think.
No, it's just stupid.
You guys are probably too young to remember when the Brewers were in the National League, and I'm still having trouble with that. Or in the American League.
Well, to me... Like, I don't remember it, but I know that I knew historically that the Brewers were in the AL relatively recently. So when they needed to move a team to the AL, it seemed obvious. Just move the Brewers back. That seemed to make the most sense.
I agree.
They moved the Astros for some stupid reason.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. I don't get that because I don't know. I don't understand it. But it should be the Brewers should be the American League team. The Astros should go back to the National League, and that would make everything right. But anyway... we'll see what happens. I think the Indians are going to be fine. The Astros knocked off the Red Sox today, so that's the end of that. Dodgers were up, 2-0 on the...
On the D-backs,
On the D-backs, yeah. I think that was pretty much over.
Yeah, no, I think the... You know, I think the Dodgers kind of exercised... I think they got through a lot of their suck, and they might be back. They might be back on track. So
if they are, forget it. Because that team was a freaking powerhouse until they hit that stretch there towards the end of the season, man. They were unbelievable. And, you know, I'm curious to see if the Nationals are going to national because they – what's that series? Tied 1-1? Or no. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see, too. But now they got to play 2 in Chicago. And I bet you anything, they come back. Well, can Chicago win it? Yeah, if they win 2. Washington is going to go back to Washington with the series tied at 2 games apiece when they should have just been able to finish it off. and then they'll lose. Anyway, if we got nothing else, guys, let's wrap it up and we'll go from there. Y'all know the routine. Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports. Argue with us about the Arizona Cardinals, but no one else. Subscribe via Stitcher, iTunes, Spreaker, and the YouTubes, and you can find us on Facebook. We will see you next time.
Later.
Later.
This Week in Pro Football is brought to you by Haeger Slacks. They just fit better naturally.
Across the United States of America and Canada, come together to form one podcast. And that podcast became the Basically Sports Show.